This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Greetings, party listeners. Producer John here. We are still down one Danny, and we were almost down one Pearl. Let Pearl tell the story, but fresh from 3 days in the Dallas airport, ladies and gentlemen, Pearl Barrett.
Oh, yay. And I'm so glad I made it back because, do you know, I have to say, and I have to toot my own horn for a minute, I've never missed a party.
That's so true.
The reason why is I wouldn't trust you and Danny.
Oh, I know. I wouldn't trust me and Danny.
I wouldn't.
I definitely wouldn't trust me. John and I just had to do ads while you were stuck at the,
the
Dallas.
That's the first time you had to do them.
And I felt like an absolute nitwit. Like I couldn't do it without you. I was like, sorry, Tim's our producer. Please. I'll redo that.
And I've had to do the ads so many times without you.
Pro.
But it's so all right. I made it. So I'm going to tell the story. It's a pretty funny story, really. I mean, it's a little bit like it could have been bad and it was sort of not fun as we were going through it. But when I looked down at myself and my husband, the whole time I was laughing from like some corner of my brain.
Yeah.
But the actual reality of going through it was really annoying.
Yeah.
But there's some meat, sort of meat, Serene, not as deep as your meat.
String of deli meat?
Yeah. I learned some things.
Yeah.
You know how as we go on, we learn from life?
It could be a bacon bit.
It's more than a bacon
imitation.
I'm joking.
No, I'm sure it's steak. It's filet mignon.
No, I don't know. It's like a chunk of chicken breast or something. It's pretty good. It's tasty.
Ooh.
Tasty stuff.
Bring it.
Okay, so but I'll tell you the story. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you the story of what happened because you might find it interesting. So I just got back. We got back late last night after midnight. Last week we went to traveled to Denver to visit Charlie's sister. We did a whole family reunion thing. And we had a great time with her because we've never been to see them. They live in Denver. And we just went through the mountains there, Colorado. It was beautiful.
You never went to see them in Denver, but you've seen them before.
Yeah, we've never visited her in Denver.
Yes.
So we thought we'd do that. And I had a beautiful time with family. And then there was a big family reunion in Oklahoma City. So we thought, well, you know, we're going to go there. So did that. Barrett reunion. I need to tell you something about the Barrett reunion.
Yes, because I have been to one of those Barrett reunions.
Yes, you have.
Because I used to live with Pearl and Charlie pre-marrying Sam Allison.
Now, I've actually talked about them here, but I got to be careful because there's some Barretts from Barrett reunion listening to our potties.
Okay.
And I've said some interesting things about the sort of foods there at the Barrett reunion.
Cornbread and biscuit foods?
No, not cornbread biscuit foods. I'm talking, you know, really, really southern foods.
Marshmallow
sugar,
gelatin salad?
Yeah. No. It's just sugars and white junks and lots of sugars and sodas. And, you know, Oklahoma, where my husband's, his instincts for food surprise me at their wrongness.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
And we were gone this whole week. And, you know, when I look at him choose his food, it is only.
It should be a bumper sticker. Some folks, instincts with food surprise me with their wrongness.
Yeah.
It's so profound.
Like,
it's just profound.
You know, when I think about food, I do think about taste and I love my food, but I'm always, always thinking about, well, is this nutritional? Does it help me?
Yes.
What's so healthy about it? You know? And if I have something that's just completely off plan now and then, well, I think, well, that's just for my vitamin pleasure, but I'll go back. And
yeah.
I couldn't eat for vitamin pleasure the whole time because it would be so weird shutting off all those other thoughts.
Right.
But what if you never had those thoughts like my husband?
Right. There might be a genetic strain of people that don't have those thoughts.
Food are completely, I call them caveman thoughts.
Yes.
Caveman thoughts are all about sugar and fat.
Right. And he has special smiles for both.
Yeah, he does.
If something's very greasy, it's a special smile. And if something's very, very sweet,
like
it's
when,
a special
away,
smile.
When we're gone, you know, when he's here at home, I always make his breakfast. So, you know, if we're doing toast, we're doing Ezekiel toast and it's got egg whites and it's an E and he likes them. He eats them. But when his own choices come, this whole vibe comes into his brain. I see the look get into his eyes and he'll sit there with his breakfast, right? So he'll order.
Heads down, always.
Heads down. You know, he'll order a big old breakfast like eggs, you know, sausage, butter, something else on the side. He'll always order a big breakfast.
Butter on the side and butter on the side.
And butter. So I'll watch him butter his white toast, always white. And he'll get this look he'll look around, there's not enough butter. He'll put more on, and then he'll like put his eggs on the toast and then make sure there's more butter. Like, and there's a specific caveman thoughts going on, like, I need more fat, I need more sugar. You know, because I guess if you're a caveman, you got to load up when you can.
Yeah.
But if it's every meal loading up. Anyway, I tell him, you're having caveman thoughts, aren't you? And he'll just laugh.
Yeah.
Like, but that's beside the point. Okay. So when we went to this family reunion, Serene.
Yeah.
His cousin is such a trim, healthy mama.
What?
Oh, my goodness. And she brought all these amazing things. She brought Rashida's cookies. She brought a Trimtastic strawberry cake. She brought the broccoli salad from the book. Wow. I ate a whole unplanned meal at the Barrett reunion.
That
Barrett reunion.
I've got no words because I've been there. She was speaking
to everyone and all his cousins. Listen, they might be listening. But they're not it. They're like my husband, right?
Yeah.
But they don't have a pearl to help them. And
yeah,
make
they
them
don't have a pearl to help
foods,
them.
So they're just eating the other ones, right?
Yeah.
They were sitting there like digging into the strawberry Trimtastic cake.
And they didn't know it was bad.
They didn't know until
didn't know it was good.
No, but they loved it.
They loved
she
it.
She told them at the end, but she's an evangelist of it, a trim, healthy mom. She's trim and healthy and she's helping all of them, Serene. There's like a revival.
That is wow.
You don't even understand how big that is.
I remember going there one year and that was when I was like in my stage where I hadn't let you like soften the edges of my purism and soften the edges of my extremism. And I remember crying.
Yeah.
Just like literally had an emotional meltdown because there was not even a blade. I was looking at the blade of grass, like maybe I could eat that.
There's no vegetables there usually. But well, Matt, there might be some sliced tomatoes you put on your burger.
No, you might find. They might have found something embalmed in a gelatin sugar salad. That's what they'd call the salads. There was wobbly sweet things with marshmallows in them.
But, you know, I always went there and I thought I would look at it as a day of family and vitamin pleasure. And I would taste, you know, Aunt Dottie made the most amazing pecan pie. It's the sweetest thing you ever had. And you should have seen my husband's face when he ate it. So I could do that day. And I think this is one day out of the year. But this day, I stayed on planet. It was amazing. Anyway, all that beside the facts. So that was a Sunday. No, that was Saturday night. So then, you know, the next day we had a fly out Sunday morning from Oklahoma City, stop in Dallas. Well, you know, our plane just kept getting delayed. They said there was weather. So it was like 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours delayed, 6 hours delayed. We finally that evening got into Dallas and we thought, you know, we missed that plane, but there was another one we were going to get on really late.
Yeah.
Well, we waited around. It kept getting delayed. We went to gate. This is Sunday night.
And this is
now
with Charlie Barrett, who has a special instinct for airports too.
My husband hates chaos.
Yes.
If things are not online, if people are not on time, if things don't work as they should, something takes over in his brain and things are not good.
Yeah.
Like, you're not good.
No,
okay.
You've seen it, right?
Totally
channeling.
so he was... He was keeping his cool really well, I think.
Mm.
And then our plane got fully cancelled.
So you've been there all day long.
We've been at the airport all day long. So we're like, oh, wow, okay.
Did they pay for a motel for you?
No. Well, they could have, but there was a line about a mile long for that. So we started to realize something's wrong here. It's not just weather. All people were walking around aimlessly like us. So we thought, well, we'll go down and get our luggage because it was supposed to be there and we'll find a hotel. We're not going to stand in line for this voucher business.
Yeah.
That would have been another 3 hours. By this time, it's, you know, after midnight.
Yeah.
And we're exhausted. And so we go down there. First of all, we look for our luggage for a couple hours.
Can I just pause you there and say who you're listening to is what Leslie Pops and I have coined Pearly Precheck.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't wait in any line.
We don't do
like
lines.
I have to go and take my shoes off, belt off, all that kind of stuff. I have to get like everything. Everyone has to go through my bags and everything. But Pearl just walks through like she is never had a criminal record.
Well, my husband and I, we really love to travel. Like, you know, if we have saved any money, what we do with it is travel because that's our experience in life and that's what it's like our hobby. It's our passion.
It's your hobby.
You know?
And they never, ever, get to wait in line.
Usually well for us.
They do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So my husband looked for the baggage for a couple hours while I stood in the line to figure out where your baggage is. Finally, it came my turn and we, you know, handed the ticket. She's like, oh, well, your luggage has gone on to Nashville. So wonderful. Charlie and I had to go to a hotel, find one without luggage.
No undies.
No undies, Serena.
No toothbrush.
No fresh undies, no toothbrush. Although the hotel did give us a toothbrush. We got in there so late.
You could have cut the sheets and made like some kind of special loincloth.
So we, you know, I feel like my husband's doing pretty well at this point. He could have been in the very baddest of moods, but he was holding it together. So we go, you know, sleep in our clothes, get up the next morning. American Airlines tells us your flight is booked. Next morning, you're on a flight. You know, so we get to the airport nice and early. We're going to go home. We just know it, but we're in the same clothes. We slept in them. Same undies, you know.
Yeah, that's bad.
And so we get to the airport, and this is when things go really
And you're wearing the same undies.
I'm wearing
you're at
the same
airport.
Undies. I am the same shirt that I slept in.
Oh, my goodness.
And we get to the airport the next morning.
Now, if you were like me and had the merino wool, you could have washed and hung them up, and yeah, they would have been dry by morning.
I could have, but, you know, thankfully I'm on bioidentical hormones now because I wasn't sweating and having hot flushes.
Yes.
I kept smelling myself and our new deodorant that's coming out soon, and I was smelling quite good.
Oh, good.
I even asked Charlie, smell me, and he's like, no, you're good, and I said, you're good too.
Oh.
Yeah, so we felt like very superior clean people.
Okay.
But we went to the airport next day, and I don't know if you guys saw this on the news. This is all last week as you're listening to this party, but it was chaos. And Serene, Charlie and I were fine. Like, we don't have little children anymore. There were families there that had been there all night. There were babies.
Been there all night?
Yes.
Because they couldn't get a hotel because they didn't have the money for the hotel and they were standing in that long mile line.
Or what happened to most of them, and I talked to a lot of them, was people, they'd be put on a next plane. So you think you're going to fly out, but you wait and wait and then it gets cancelled. And I realize, I'll tell you why soon. So people kept thinking they were going to get out of there and then they wouldn't and they didn't.
It's like Hotel California.
And so then it would say, well, no, we've got you on a new plane. That's in 3 hours. So you'd wait, but that would get cancelled.
Whoa.
So we went there the next morning and the airport was full. People were wandering around, people sleeping on the floor, babies crying, children.
Oh.
No, people don't have their luggage. No one's got their luggage.
Oh.
And it was pretty
bad. What
about
diapers for babies?
I know.
Oh.
I was in the bathroom and this woman was crying. She missed her son's wedding.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So we were there all day. So our flight got canceled that morning. As the day went on, this is what I want to talk about. This is sort of the meat here. You know, emotions heightened, right? Because things are going badly for people.
Yeah.
And people started to get angry.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. And this is what I want to talk about today.
I guess the moral is
there's a point to watching others so you don't do the same behavior. You can see it, what's happening in others to learn from them.
Yeah.
I think that's why sometimes younger children learn from the older ones and like, I'm not going to be an idiot
so
like
great
that.
Yeah.
Being after you.
After
You can see, but why did my older sister do that and get in trouble for it? I'm not going to be so stupid, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I could sense my husband getting his thing, like, things are stupid. This is chaos. I would not allow this to happen. This is ridiculous. But then he watched people around us just melt down.
Yeah.
F words were coming out of their mouth, man.
Oh, yeah.
People were mad. They were going up. And I felt so sorry for the customer service people.
Yeah.
They were just having, like, the lines were so long and people things were bad, but they were
it's
just.
Not that, but those
people
were
irate. Like, their whole world, and they were uppity and huffing, and blood pressures were rising.
Yeah.
And I looked at them and I said.
They were making a miserable situation 1,000 times more miserable.
1,000 times. You're hurting your health here.
Yeah.
This will pass at some point.
Yeah.
But getting all huffy, it doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
And so we looked around and he looked at me and I saw him think, I'm not that guy. He realized, he's like, I'm not that guy. He said to me later, I did well, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I said, it's because we watched all the people melt down. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think we can learn from others. And that's what I wanted to talk about. I'll tell you the rest of the story before I get more into that moral, though. So we stayed there all day. They kept putting us to new gates and new planes. And in the end, it was midnight again, and it just got fully canceled. So we like, okay, let's find another hotel. Second night, Serene. No luggage.
You could have washed your merino wool undies.
Same undies. Well, I'll get a bit graphic here. I mean, no one will care. But, you know, two full days and nights with the same undies is a bit much, I think. I thought, well, I can wear this shirt and I can wear these other clothes, but undies, come on.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll wash them.
Good.
And I washed them and I put them up near the air conditioner, but then I had to go to bed for the first time ever undie-less.
First time ever.
We got children. I'm saying obviously undies are not always on, but to sleep they're always on.
Yeah.
I don't sleep without undies. It felt so weird. I couldn't sleep.
Did you feel vulnerable, like the monsters were going to come and take you away?
I thought the monsters were just going to come or something. It was so weird, but my undies were wet. So at this stage, I was so tired and it was sort of cold and I just was bare bottom weirdness, man. I couldn't handle it. So I was just sort of like in and out of dreamland. Finally, I was just waiting, like, I'd go up and check them. Are they dry yet? It was like 3:34 in the morning and they were dry enough, so I put them on, but they're sort of slightly wet.
Oh, man.
And I finally got back to sleep, but then we had to get up early. We went back to the airport. Oh, it was worse chaos.
Yeah.
Just worse. So we decided enough of this, because they put us on another airline. They said, your flight will be this, and then it canceled and said, no, your flight will be the next day. So I wouldn't be flying out till the following day.
Yeah.
And so we chose another airline and we got out. We had to go to Minneapolis first, back to Nashville. But finally we got home after 3 days.
All the way to Minneapolis from Texas to get back down here.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
You know, I thought to myself, I was thinking as I was watching all these people and learning from them, learning what not to do.
Yeah.
That we really can learn from bad behavior of others. And I think it's biblical because Jesus did parables.
Oh, yeah.
And he showed people's behavior. Remember the guy that got forgiven of his debts by the king?
Yeah.
And then as soon as he was forgiven, he went and found the person that owed him money. Yeah. And he's like, you give me all your money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and Jesus was showing, look at that. Look at that bad behavior. Don't be that way. Yeah. And he did story after story after story.
And when there was good behavior, he would, you know, some of the apostles will say, hey, mimic what's the word for mimic that they use in the Bible? It was more like follow our behavior or mirror us, how we're acting.
And so I think that I don't think it's judging. Like, I don't want to judge people like if they're melting down, throwing the F-bomb and all of that, because, you know, we're all on different journeys and a lot of them had horrible things that were happening and they were missing weddings and vacations and all of that sort of thing. But I feel like we can look on and learn, create our own better experience just by looking at others. And then I thought to myself, this so relates to our Trim Healthy journey.
Yeah.
Right. So we've always talked about cart judging.
Yeah.
Okay. We've talked about grocery carts.
Yeah.
And we don't want to judge others when they're putting the
Well, they may not know. Maybe the way that they've grown up and they just don't know any better.
They don't know. So they're putting the white bread in and then it's all, you know, the potato chips and all the boxed macaroni and cheese.
Or they're putting in only the cheese and cheese and nuts and sour cream and meat and no veggies and no carbs. Because they're just ketoing it out.
Yeah.
Because that's all they know to how to lose weight.
But I feel like, Serene, that we can look at other people's carts and not judge, but we can see what not to do.
Yes.
If you look at someone's cart and it is full of those devitalized foods and they don't look healthy, which they never do, we can learn and say, let me not do that.
Yeah.
We cannot.
It's not judging as much as it is just making a sound decision that, like, I can see the fruit on the person of what's in the cart. Like, by the fruits you shall know them kind of thing. It's not like a judging. It's just kind of like it's right there.
Listen, most of humanity does one thing. If you're going to be healthier, if you're going to live a long life and be strong emotionally, if you're going to be full of faith, hope, happiness, joy, most people aren't.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to swim the other way.
Yes.
So I do think that we can look at what doesn't work and take the other direction, because yeah. people are sheep and they flock and they do the same yeah. thing. When we were walking around the airport, people were
yeah, and some people so are yeah. almost cheerleaded by the F-bombers. Like,
yeah.
oh, you're that upset? Well, I was just slightly upset, but you show me how upset I really yes. should be. You know?
And so I do think most of human behavior, a lot of it sometimes, is something that we actually have to do the opposite to. Yeah. If we're going to be healthy, we have to do the opposite to the standard American diet. Mm. If we're going to be healthy emotionally, we have to do the opposite to the ants thing, which is the automatic negative thought system running through our heads. We yeah. actually have to take breaks to it and stop and say, and most people have it running yeah, through their heads and say no.
She said B-R-A-K-E-S, not B-R-E-A-K. So she's not wanting to just take a break from negativity.
No,
she's putting the full brakes on, mate. Never to be done again.
If we're
going to
be healthy, we have to eat differently from people. We yes. just jolly well have to.
Mm-hmm.
And we just jolly well have to behave differently from
people. Boy, this chicken wing is delicious.
You know, I learned so much from looking at what the humans naturally want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I naturally wanted to get really depressed about my poor little me and my 3 days in the airport. But then I kept having to say, Pearl, you're so stinking blessed.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, you actually can afford to go get a hotel. You're here with your husband. This is an experience. You're going to go home and laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to keep putting all these thoughts in my head, or else I would have been sitting down in despondency and walking around. When we got to a hotel, you know, there's this woman next to me and she's still on the phone with American. And she was huffing and puffing and she's like, can you believe it? And I saw her blood pressure rise.
Yeah.
And I saw these negative things happening to her body. And you know what I said to myself? Breathe in and breathe out, Pearl. Don't be like her.
Yeah.
So yeah. we can learn.
Yes.
We can look around, I yeah. think. And
we
say,
can have compassion
yeah, no, totally
for the people
compassion.
That are going through that. But we can also learn. So yeah. So here is, it's not a judgmental thing like, you idiot. No. It's like, I feel sorry for you and I don't want to experience what you're experiencing.
Yeah, because I actually could have done it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not one to throw the F-bomb around, but I really could have gotten down in the dumps. Like, poor me.
Yeah.
Can you believe this happened? Can
right.
you believe, we could have, Charlie and I could have revved ourselves up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, this is,
husbands
oh,
and
goodness.
Wife often do rev.
Oh, my goodness. And I saw a lot of snapping going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard. You know, a lot of yeah. snapping between couples and stuff.
Yeah.
But look, I'm not, oh, man, you guys, you know I mess up so much, you know. But it was, I just think reminding of ourselves to act and eat and live differently is so good, because, you know, my husband and I, we still love one another through it. And it was sort of super annoying, but it was sort of super funny and super fun at the same time.
Yeah, like yeah. a lot of good people watching, eh, on
oh,
steroids.
Such good people watching.
Yeah.
And
so I want to talk about that. People watching is like one of my favorite pastimes. Not because I'm a nosy, well, maybe
well,
I am
you are
nosy,
but I am too.
But because it's just kind of real good human fun, right?
Yeah.
But
entertainment.
You're saying today, and it's a new point that makes me really want to be a people watcher, is I can learn from it too.
Yes.
I can totally learn. Not in a judgmental way, but in a, that's not taking you in a good direction, so I don't want to follow.
Because if we keep going through life and we never change and we never learn from our experience, we keep doing the same things, mm. right? So my husband, good on him, he has melted down at times when things haven't gone perfectly at airports.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm so thankful that this time he didn't, because he saw others do it and he saw how yucky it is.
Can you talk about this? Can you talk about this? Because it's coming to mind. I don't know if I'm going to say it properly, but your little 2-year-old grandbaby.
Which one? Oh, one?
Finn.
He's 3. Oh, my 2-year-old
Finny. Was like,
oh,
getting
yes,
into a fit.
This is good.
Do you want to say it? Because you'll say it better than me, because it's your story.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kahura listens to this, but no, she won't.
No,
mind.
It's
funny.
A cute thing. I thought it was.
He was a very angelic little baby,
yeah.
you know, but then he turned 2 and something happens. You know, sometimes it's just pathways in their brains and stuff. And he turned from this angel baby into the most fit throwing psycho. Like
And almost nursing makes them do it when
yeah.
they're still nursing it
yeah.
too, you know, because they just
it was
the
especially
kings of their
when
world.
He got into his car seat. Now, Rocky, one of mine, used to do that, and so I've seen it before, but I saw it with Finn, and it was impossible. Even Bowen, who's a very strong, my son, 6 foot, he's all muscular, could barely fold him into the car seat because they go stiff,
yes.
and they just scream and they lose it, and the
they
screaming doesn't stop.
Yes.
And it's like, no, no. And it's like insane. They lose their brain for some reason. I don't know. But he went through this every time he got in his car seat.
Yeah.
And it was loud and it hurt your ears and it was mental. And you're like, what's wrong with this child? Is he going to be all right? There's something really wrong with this child. So what? We were on vacation. He kept doing it every single time, you know. So I had my phone and I filmed him doing it.
Yeah.
So the next time we got in a car seat, he started doing it the same way. And I said to Bowen, here, show him this. So he played the film of himself, of Finn watched himself do it. He got this look on it. He stopped crying. He got this look on his face like, what? He got this horrible look like, who is that? And then you could see his synapses like, it's me? What? Oh, that kid's crazy. He stopped doing it.
Yeah.
He settled down and then he got this look on his face like almost ooh.
Yeah.
Like he was, his little thought process was like, surely that wasn't me. Yeah. That kid's
mental. I never want to be that.
I don't
want to
do that. And he stopped.
Yeah, he's never done that, eh?
Because he saw the behavior. Yeah. He didn't know it, but he saw it. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Maybe that's a good thing we should do as adults. Maybe we should think to ourselves, imagine what we're doing. Sometimes if we realize we're getting a little bit huffy and puffy or getting a little bit bitter or getting a little bit nasty, maybe we should act like the world's seeing it on TV.
Yeah.
And just think if we would still like to continue.
But I think many things, you know, I've learned in this manner by watching or hearing other people. I mean, I've said this several times, but I was in Walmart one day in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it really taught me a lesson that I've learned to this day, how to speak to my husband.
Well, you've told me about this.
Yeah.
You keep going.
I was in there in the store. And this lady was in the next store and we were both peeing, right? But she was on the phone to her husband. And obviously he was had to pick the kids up and he couldn't. And she's like, oh my goodness, you said you would. Oh my goodness, you always do this. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was your job to pick them up. I mean, and I was like, I thought to myself, oh, wow, she doesn't know. She doesn't know what she sounds like.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, I think I've done this. Have I been that bad? Oh, please tell me. Please tell me I don't do that. Please tell me I don't sound like that. But I became aware, maybe I was never that bad, but I think I'd been snippy. I'd definitely been snippy and we don't see how bad we are.
Right.
And I thought to myself, okay, Pearl, you will never speak to your husband like that because you know what?
You can hear it in others, right?
Yeah.
When you can hear it in others and it's like, yes, it's so much more clearer than you. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I just think when we walk about life and when we go to the grocery store and we let's just see how is life working for other people, right? And I know I'm not talking about judging. I'm just talking about going the other strength, you know, just like all the schools of fish going one way. Maybe we have to get out of that school because they're like going into the face of a shark or something and just swim the other way.
Yeah.
I think it's better.
A people watching thing once in my life too has changed my way that I did groceries because I used to get a little bit stressed out doing groceries when you, especially if you're taking all your toddlers with you and you've got like two toddlers trying to fall out of the carts. One baby's in the ergo and you've got like your seven-year-old trying to trying to scoot the cart really fast down the aisles and bash it into grandma's and stuff. And then you finally get all your groceries and then you look around, there's no cart and you're like trying to hold the baby and all the cans and they're falling everywhere and you're trying to find the missing cart with the missing toddlers, the crazy seven-year-old. Well, anyway, I remember walking through a grocery store and seeing this lady. She was doing a meltdown like you described at the airport. Like, so she was, her blood pressure must have been so high. She was so riled up, but it was nasty. And she was trying to look after, I think maybe her mother was senile or whatever, but was in a wheelchair. And she's like, what do you want? The 2% or the blah, blah, blah milk? I asked you again. Like, she was just going crazy. And I don't think she was aware. And I think probably she's been very frustrated and it's a hard job or whatever that she's doing. But it made me realize how you can work yourself up and work yourself into a rage you don't even know you're in. And what an awful life you're making for yourself and what pain you're causing to the other people. Because the mother was just stuck, like just was trying her best, but she couldn't do any better. And it was
you could just feel the pain of the situation, the pain and the stuckness and the blind spot of the situation. So it made me realize, like, to try and like take deep breaths when I go grocery shopping and just being thankful that I have children with mouths to feed and that I have money to buy the food that I'm putting in.
Yes.
And it's just like to see grocery shopping as more of a fun experience instead of an errand I have to tick off with this like stressful. And really now I really feel like that particular moment, it really did change that area in my life. It really did.
And I think what you said, Serene, is gratitude is everything. I mean, if you're having all these thoughts of like, poor me, and I can't believe this is happening to me, and can you believe we're going through this? And the only thing that goes against that, like the Bible says, give thanks in everything. And Paul said, I can be happy if I'm abounding or abasing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes I'll go through the airport and I'm pearly pre-check and it's all going to be good. Is that what I'm going to base my happiness on?
Right.
Or am I still going to be able to be happy when it's 3 days in the same clothes?
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be determined from my circumstance. It should be gratitude. And so I've been doing this thing lately. It's just like pearl drop and give me three.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
Every time I have self-pity thoughts or my life is hard or this is tough. You know that book, Mini Habits, it's really great. Yeah. He talked about just how just one push-up changed his life because one push-up is doable and you can actually do that. And then you get a sense of accomplishment. But sometimes if you just tell yourself, be grateful, then you like don't know where to start.
Right.
So I do this thing, drop and give me three.
I love it.
Which is drop. I'm envisioning myself like a soldier. You know, you're going down, you're doing the wrong thing. Okay, soldier, you drop and give me three. So I drop. I stop what I'm doing and think of three things I can be thankful for. And I did that the whole time I was at the airport because it was annoying what we were going through. Yeah. And then I had to stop and say, okay, Pearl, what are you thankful for? And I'm like, I'm here with my husband. Number two, my husband loves me. Number three, you know, we just got to eat at a restaurant at the airport. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we'd go through and another bad thing would happen and, you know, we'd be sent to another gate. I'm like, Pearl, drop and give me three.
Okay. Love it.
So then I just continue with these three things all the time. And by the end of the days, I don't know, we were laughing.
Mm-hmm.
We were having a great time. We kept telling ourselves what we were thankful for. And it could have been so yucky, but it was sort of
It's such a powerful thing. And I know we're ending the end of this podcast, but I did want to mention this. It's so powerful. The word of God, it says, you know, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter his courts with praise.
Yes.
And I just feel like it's so, it's thanksgiving, like you're saying, is such a powerful weapon.
It is.
It's not just a little lighthearted thing. It is a weapon. And, he gives me a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Yeah. And recently I just walked through something very, very extremely hard for me. And I had something in my life happen on the same day that I got to be very grateful for. And it snapped me like a 360 out of the depth of my pity, self-pity.
Yes.
And I realized the power of gratefulness was so huge. I had a couple of family members in an accident.
Yeah.
And an accident that should have claimed their lives.
Yeah.
Like it was a miracle. Nobody knows how they got out of that accident. And they lived with only scratches. And I know God was involved, but the gratefulness for their lives, every time I look at their faces, I'm just like, God, I am so thankful. And that gratefulness turned around that other disaster in my life. Not that it completely took the pain away, but it took me out of the deep pit. Because I'm like, how can you be? You can't be in a deep pit when you've got this to be grateful for.
Yeah.
You could have been going to two funerals this week.
Oh, I know.
How can you be in a pit?
Yeah. And Serene, you know, God knows best, right? He tells us to be thankful every day. Like, isn't there 365 times in the Bible that says to be thankful?
Yes.
So one for every day. Like, constantly be thankful, be thankful. And a lot of times we don't feel thankful, but, you know, complaining, they've looked at it scientifically, it literally shrinks the brain. The hippocampus, whatever that part is called. Gratitude. They've looked at studies. It increases brain matter.
Wow.
So he's our father, Dad. He tells us to do these things because he knows what's best for us. And when we just continue down the track that everyone's is going on, or this is hard, so let's complain.
It's interesting you said it shrinks your brain. It shrinks the hippocampus, did you say? It's interesting because, negative words, similar to complaining. But you know people that swear?
curse, yeah.
Yeah, you notice how limited their vocabulary is? Because maybe in that area of words and vocabulary, it's very shrunken down, right? They've got caught in this little negative, like, six-word little, you know, it's like all they know how to say. But maybe, like, negative thinking and complaining is a similar thing. It not just doesn't just sink your vocabulary, but it shrinks your thought processes that all you're doing is this little negative loop. It becomes very small. There's no creativity and thinking outside the box.
You've got to have creativity to get out of that because you've got to be creative to think of things to be grateful for.
Right, drop and give me three. You had to think of the three different things every 3 minutes.
And so no wonder my brain was growing.
Yeah.
Because you have to do it when actually it's the best time to do it when things are hard.
Right.
You can be grateful when things are easy.
Yes.
But no wonder, I'm just thinking about what you said there. No wonder it grows your brain because you're actually having to get very creative in the midst of something that's not easy.
And the Bible says a sacrifice of praise. So it's meant to be done in the tough times.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what I think. In our own Trim Healthy Mama journeys, you know, when things aren't easy or we have to cook that next meal, don't tell me I have to cook one more meal, you know, or do one more dish. Drop and give me three.
Yes. I love it. Trim Healthy Mama, my way. Then I'll be true, nothing, mama, to stay.